Hare Krishna, our very great fortune once again to hear His Grace Vamshi Vadan Prabhuji in Sridhar Mayapur addressing to all the Bhakti Shastri devotees on 30th of December 2013, and this is the day 7 of this unit 2nd, continuing with chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
So welcome all of you once again for the continued discussions on Bhagavad Gita chapter 7 to 12. So this morning we have a small request for all of you. And so we request each devotee to speak two things. One is any one point from our discussion so far which has really touched you or which you would like to apply in your practical life. So any one point. And the second thing is Prabhupada's pastime, indicating the qualities of a Mahatma. Hope everyone's ready. Well, whether you're ready or not, the mic is going to come. Take down the mic. And following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who during the Gundija temple margin, he said that anyone who is not sufficiently cleaning has to pay a transcendental punishment. You know what was that? Anybody knows what was the punishment Mahaprabhu gave? Distributing sweetmeats to the rest of the devotees. So anyone who is not ready with Prabhupada's pastime. Yeah, so you know what to do. And the rule of the game is no repetitions. Yeah, Prabhupada, just like Krishna's pastimes are unlimited, the pure devotees' pastimes are unlimited. And so is all the hours of discussions that we have. So there's enough to speak on, isn't it? Hare Krishna. Yes, we can please begin from...
Hare Krishna.
Well, the first item was what is the name that inspired me. I think right from the start, the first verse of the 7th chapter, it's like this verse never really made a special effect on me over the years. But then, you know, one of my devotee friends, he said, this is the verse that Srila Prabhupada made the most classes on.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, okay. But then, this time I think I got the point, that Sri Nu and Samagramamanda, you can know beautiful with mind attached to me, the beginning of bhakti, and the exact the immediate follow up of the Yoginama Pisarve Sham. How does that work? Yoginama, what does he do? Krishna picks up from this verse of Snikshatra. So it's gone on me now. So I got it. And of course, in the purport, Prabhupada, he quotes these five verses from the
first canto, Bhagavatam,
which are the, she actually quoted on the actual Jalatusa.
Yes.
So it's very potent.
Right.
So it has an effect on me.
Good, thank you. And the
so
second.
I don't have to buy your
sleep. No, there's something more remaining.
Okay, something more, yeah. Let's see. Well, Yadantas Chandridavrata. I have actually three examples of endeavoring with great determination.
One will do. One pastor.
Yeah, well, actually, it's just like, because he started the BTG, Bhakti Godhead Magazine, 1944, single-handedly, and he just didn't give up, you know, in spite of all odds. And he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. Because somebody told him, why don't you, maybe you could write books instead of magazines.
Yeah.
So he went for it, and then he made many efforts, like in Jhansi, League of Devotees, you know, he never gave up, you know, he's always like endeavoring with great determination.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, that sums it up.
Yes, wonderful. Thank you very much. Haribo! It's coming in line. No, we'll come back to you tomorrow.
Okay.
But maybe you could at least speak one point which...
I don't know what it
meant. Anything till now. Any one point till now which you remember...
From our seminar?
Yes, from the discussion so far.
Can I...
Okay. Both the questions will come back to you.
The word, the famous word, Padjambhushan Pantoy. I was hearing Prabhupada giving a lecture on that word, and in that lecture Prabhupada mentioned how much you must be privileged because Krishna is accepting whatever you are cooking. So that was the time when I was asked to do some cooking for the deity department, and I was very hesitant, but at the same time I was, yeah, let us do it, and I just was observing few others, making pakoras, making puris, and then my turn came, so it was like, I'm on spot, so I had to recollect what I had done, went early to the kitchen and did all that, I was able to recollect what he was saying, and finally, when the offering tray was ready and was going into the room, the ready room, and coming back, and I said, how much I must be privileged that this place, that whatever, it was not very perfect, whatever I did to the best of my ability, so came back, and so that was for me. And regarding Srila Prabhupada, past time, his journey in the Jalatuda itself shows that what are the hardships that he's going through. First is the age factor. No one at that age would dare to take such a
journey,
which is, we wouldn't say it's a very smooth journey, it's a very tough and not much financial support, carrying only depending on Krishna and endeavoring with that determination, like in that point that he writes, you're bringing me here, if you want me to dance, make me dance as you like. And I don't have the capacity. I have the name Bhaktivedanta, but I don't have the capacity. You have it, show it to me. So he's showing that determination and all completely depends on the Lord. So that's something which touched me, I thought. Prabhupada is come and went through such a pain and is giving us the books and giving us the holy name, and now I chant inattentively, I just go back to this pastime, sometimes to recollect it and then come back and chant better, so that at least for Prabhupada's sake, that the chant attentively, not for at least me.
Thank you, Revo!
One of the things I liked in the lecture is how to see Krishna everywhere. We discussed it with Ananda Prabhu the other day, and found it very inspiring because it keeps you connected, keeps you still remembering how to do it. And one of the main points that I found is relevant and important to understand is that we good to remember that we are not in knowledge actually. And when we have this kind of consciousness, we are more become living in a mode of exploring. What's that? Because people they think that they know many things. They think what sun is. They have knowledge about it, about the sun, but what it actually is, they don't know. So when we look at the sun, we tend to see, okay, the sun, I know what it is. But when we see it as a as Krishna's eye, that's something else. So that's one of the things I liked. And about story of Srila Prabhupada, I was amazed about one story about Srila Prabhupada's humility and patience with his students. And I'll just try to figure out, it was translated from Russian, so please forgive me for the translation or something. So one of the disciples of Prabhupada, Sannyasi, he was called Hanuman. He fell from the standard of Sannyasi and of merit. And at that time, similar things in Islam did not happen. And on his first day in Mexico, Hanuman, dressed as a householder, came to the meeting with his spiritual teacher, spiritual master Srila Prabhupada. And after the crowd of visitors left the Prabhupada's room, there were only a few seniors and Hanuman. And Hanuman said, Srila Prabhupada, the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a disciple who was renowned, had a renowned disciple, Chodaharita. And he rejected him because he was attracted by women. I was also attracted. I was also your student, and I was also attracted by women. So would you also reject me? And at that time, oppressive silence followed, and everyone looked at Srila Prabhupada, and he sat down, took his hand out. And after a long pause, Srila Prabhupada looked at Hanuman and said quietly that Lord Chaitanya is God. He can spread this movement all over the world without help if he so chooses. I am not God. I'm just a servant of God. I need so much help in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. If someone helps me, even making some little service to me, I am forever indebted to him. You helped me so much, so how can I reject you?
Okay. Thank you much. Hribo!
Manichakra, the open book question was there, it says the meditation was going on for the question of like the inconceivable potency of the Lord. So I was meditating on that point, that state like Krishna is in full control and still he's aloof. So for me, more of inspiring thing was there. On our own endeavors, I can be doing the things, doing mercy, but the factor of mercy is the prominent thing what I felt after this to get out from this material world. Because as Krishna is stating, Prabhupada is just mentioning from this, so it is impossible to have this. In personal life, I can see little things that bewildered us. So the hand is seen this devotee has done, or due to this devotee, but the ultimate cause is Krishna. So this really helped me to overcome my this sort of negative thing.
Still okay.
More to have more conviction and
fine.
And regarding Prabhupada, final lesson time, as Prabhupada was on the bed at the last time. So Prabhupada was in a combination, he was translating. I have heard he was it was his statement, or I don't know, somebody told but should be the preacher should be fighting till his last
breath.
So like Prabhupada was like, you know, continuing like at the last moment also translating with like data of the and like glorifying him.
Okay, fine, thank you. Hari Bol.
Hari
Bol.
Particularly like the point when we spent a few minutes discussing whether bhakti is internal or external. And I like the emphasis that you placed on the verse, chapter 8, verse 7, Mam Anusmara Yudhya Cha, which Krishna very simply is saying, remember me and fight. There's an internal and there's an external component. So I really like that. And I think one, I was thinking about Prabhupada, I just read the book by Mukunda Goswami, Miracle on Second Avenue, that was really good. And this is kind of Prabhupada had a stroke in New York, and he thought he was going to pass away. And then he said that those devotees chanting that kept him there, and then he eventually went back to India to recover from his health, and even after that he still came back, and so he was so determined. So I think it's basically the same thing as the determination that Prabhupada had to be able to spread Krishna consciousness.
Thank you. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Hi.
I like very much this verse of Nan Chatra verse 32 where Krishna says that he personally carry what the devotee left and preserve what they have. I like this before because Krishna is very personal with devotees and he's taking personal care of them. And the first time in Prabhupada, I like this very much about in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada had to clean and wash the pots of the hippies. And that shows us how much humility and determination Srila Prabhupada had in the beginning.
Yes, thank you. Hari Bol.
Hari
Bol.
My favorite verse in the Bhagavad Gita is 6:6, where it says, for him who has conquered the mind will be the greatest of friends, and for one who has failed to do so, his mind will be the greatest of enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually something that I have in my room printed out that I remind myself every day, because all my difficulties in Krishna consciousness have always come from my imagination and my mind, not from bodily concerns or problems or whatever. It's always something that I've imagined in my mind that I can just let go and it will just go away. And my favorite pastime for Srila Prabhupada, and shows really what a great Mahatma, I think this pastime, in my opinion, shows how he exhibited what a great Mahatma he was. Actually begins when he sets foot on the Jaladuta and suffers two heart attacks after visiting all the temples in Vrindavan and having a very blissful life living in the temple there. He's now suffering two heart attacks at sea, certainly not wanting to die on a ship in the ocean after living his life in Vrindavan. And then finally, after shifting to so many different places in New York, and each one seemingly more unfavorable than the next, suffering through all of this with no one to complain to or not even saying a word about it. His first official preaching engagement is to people who are coming to the temple on drugs, homosexuals, people who have no respect for him or don't even understand who he is. And that's his crowd. So after two heart attacks and constant shifting, he gets that crowd to preach to, and look what he made out of that.
Thank you very much. Hari Bol. Just to make a point, probably there's not spoken his favorite verse, but we are referring to the discussions we had so far from chapter 7.
Okay.
No problem, that's fine. From 7 to 9.
So
that again?
The example from the effect of eating is satisfaction, depression, and satisfaction comes from Sadhu Krishna, bhakti.
Yes.
And it means when we're increasing quality, the more we increase quality, the more we show our love to Krishna and more than satisfaction. communication with Prabhupada, with Shuala, his reference, and the station of Prabhupada from Kitashma to the Matai Long. And an example of Srila Prabhupada is when Srila Prabhupada comes to the airport, he's always busy, but one day he was so busy, he couldn't pass, and he was making trouble in the airport. And one of the devotees said, "Are the devotees going to die?" And Srila Prabhupada came to his side and said, no, you Srila Prabhupada. So he showed really the simplicity. He didn't think he was a great acharya or anything. He just said, "Go down."
Thank you. Hari
Bol.
Hari Bol. I would like to look about the association with devotees, which is very important.
Okay, which verse are you referring to?
Chapter 7. Chapter 7. When we accept initiation for spiritual master, we need to take association with devotees, which is very important.
Yeah, that's true, but which verse are you referring to?
Sorry,
it
was in chapter 6.
Okay. You can speak something from 7 to 9. Okay, fine. We'll give you a second chance. Okay.
tell something from chapter 9, verse 30. So this verse gives me inspiration to be in determination in devotional life, in the dependence, because I always feel myself unfit for devotional service. And at the same time, I don't want to leave for a moment devotional service. I want to live always in devotional service, but at this point I'm unfit, because I see many mistakes in me always. So what to do? So this verse gives me inspiration. So next first time, I remembered Bhakti Chaitanya Swami's lecture in my home a few days ago. So he said that in 70s in Mayapur, one day there was a problem in India and Bangladesh, and many devotees, general public, Hindu people came to India, and they were lost their homes and everything. So they came to Mayapur, and from ISKCON Mayapur, there was distribution of prasadams. So many people gave prasadams, and some of them didn't get. So the people who got their prasadams threw their bag in a dusty area. So those people who didn't get their prasadams, so in that place, the dogs also go there to take some food for them, and the people who didn't get their prasadams, they also go there because of hunger, they are very hungry. So one day we told Prabhupada that when I see this scene, I feel sometimes very compassionate. So Prabhupada told that to that disciple, "Why you feel sometimes, you should feel always."
Okay, fine, thank you. Very well.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Again, the vision of this text, 16 of chapter 8. Where Krishna says, from the highest planet down to the lowest planet, there are place of mysteries. When I was a Christian, only this material world, we have birth, old age, disease, and death. I used to think when I go to heaven, I'm free. But by reading this text, I know that if I go to heaven, I will still die. Even if I live for long, enjoy all the facilities there, I will still die and come back. So I became more inspired to be a devotee and practice Bhakti Yoga.
Okay.
Yeah. So, about Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was in America, at one time he was doing japa, and a big cat. He was doing japa with devotees, and a big cat just came along and go to Prabhupada's feet. And Prabhupada kicked the cat and he died immediately. So all the devotees were afraid. How can a pure devotee kill? So when Prabhupada was giving class, so one of them asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you said thou shalt not kill. Why did you kick that cat and he died? And Prabhupada said, this cat is not an ordinary cat. It's a demigod from the heavenly planet. It's left its duty. It's coming to spite me. So I have to return him back to his duty. So that is compassion. Prabhupada was giving commandments for the demigod. Yeah. So, this was a good answer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I want to speak one thing about the seventh verse of the seventh chapter, where Krishna mentions that everything rests upon him and throws our strong on a thread. And actually this verse connected me very much with the sketch we performed with your little cards, and we had to talk about lotus, sun and moon. And that really made me show, like a few years ago I was very much seeking for something, but I didn't really know what I was seeking for. And I would go hiking alone to Spain, alone to France, alone to forest, and I was traveling on this. It was very austere what I was doing. I was walking in winter with just a small suitcase, small backpack, I mean, very cold tent. I was just searching to find some spiritual benefits, something spiritual, and very, very occasionally I would like feel the presence of God. And actually by this game, it really made me show how Krishna consciousness and reading the sacred texts as Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, really broadened me to such a better understanding of God and seeing Him in so many moments of the day. And actually witness God, and that's the most incredible realization from this week so far.
Thank you.
And then my pastime was actually exactly the same as Prabhu here. Maybe can I wait a little, 1 minute more? Something might come up.
Okay, fine, no problem. Okay.
I remember like the verse, when we are discussing chapter 8, that says I'm away from Vrindavan, you said we can create Vrindavan everywhere. If we are free from envy, and if we keep Krishna in the center, then we can create Vrindavan everywhere.
Right. Okay, thank you.
And then the story I remember, I may be wrong, you know, I heard that story from Ramananda Prabhu. He lives in Vrindavan, he stayed in Vrindavan. He was a very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Ramananda Prabhu and Gaurama Prabhu. So one time he said, Srila Prabhupada was in Hare Temple. Hare Temple was that time, you know, like headquarters of ISKCON. Now it is like Mayapur. So that time Hare was the headquarters of ISKCON Temple. So Srila Prabhupada was telling this story when he was inaugurating Krishnamuram Temple. So Ramana Prabhu said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you know, I'll go back to India. I'll always remain in America. And even he told his disciple to make green card for him. He finally, I'll never go back to India. So one day, Rukmini Karikadesh, they appeared with his dream or his lecture, I don't know exactly, you know. So they told him, you go to India. And then Srila Prabhupada said, no, I'll not go. And they said, no, you have to go. And then Srila Prabhupada said, no, I'll not go. And then, you know, finally, so you have to go. And Srila Prabhupada, they asked him, why you want to go? Srila Prabhupada said, I suffered so much in India. I tried to preach in Jhansi also, you know. And then in West also, I suffered like 1 or 2 years before. ISKCON. So now I have to go back to India. And then Rukmini Karikadesh, they told Srila Prabhupada, if you go to India, I'll give you 100 times bigger than this Hare temple. And then Srila Prabhupada was telling this story in Krishnamuram temple. Now I got 100 times bigger than Hare temple. That was the story.
Thank you. Okay.
Guru,
I
don't think
when
you were referring to a verse and not
point where we're discussing that what is your desire to go back to God or not?
In the 8th chapter we will discuss.
Another pastime of Prabhupada, similar to that. I don't remember the exact location where it happened. It was so that after a lecture, when I guess something came up, somebody raised the question of how we should not go back to God or something. Some devotee said that now we are not going back to God, we will stay here with Prabhupada and distribute books. So Prabhupada said that that means you also want me to stay here. You don't want me to get out of this world.
Okay. Okay, there's something else.
That indicates that a devotee is not that he doesn't desire to go back to God, but he's not in a hurry to go back to God.
Okay, fine. Thank you. He's at the same. Okay, go ahead.
When we were discussing about faith, where you mentioned that when Krishna mentioned that faith does not come back to me, then have to repeat the cycle of birth and death. And then we were discussing the past time where Prabhupada asked the sannyasi that are you convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and none of them is like. That was a really setback for me. Such a personality who couldn't answer spontaneously. So I'll have to work more on my faith. Then again, you were discussing the past time about if the scientists have gone to the moon. And you were telling that Prabhupada had absolute faith on the scriptures that it is not possible. So faith on sadhus and shastras is really important.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Haribu. Yes, Mike. He said the moon. Okay, we discussed in the class.
It's hard to decide between the verse where Krishna says, "I'll preserve what I have," and considering a man 30, considering a standing person, always consider a standing person. But, I'll speak a little bit about. So they might carry what they lack and preserve what they have. So in my case, I grew up in East London, not a posh, more posh district. And I never seen my dad, I've never seen my father. So I was quite stupid to put a mind about this. In a program he gave this year in July.
Who?
Okay. I just was asking about the principle of father, etc. And he mentioned in that point, he said that even if someone doesn't have a father or a mother or you know like that or brother, etc., is the principle of father in somebody's life. In other words, the uncle, the mentor, the guru, the teacher, like that. So what I was realizing is that although I didn't know it, Krishna was still through the super soul, where Krishna merit, my own karma or however. Still, Krishna has always provided, and so like he's always providing some sort of guidance in some way, shape, or form. Yeah, it helped me to realize that. For me personally, I have nothing to be proud of, because whether I know it or not, or acknowledge it or not, or appreciate it or not, Krishna is always providing in some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
Okay, in terms of pastime, so Prabhupada, let's see. One time Prabhupada, so Tamil Krishna Maharaj knows this, one time Prabhupada was with a cook and he demanded a cook to cook two preparations of prasad. Then make sure you cook two preparations of prasad. So the cook was a bit confused because he was doing that Prabhupada doing his own. So he said, Prabhupada, sure. He said, you have to cook two preps of prasad. They looked around sort of where he was at and nobody was around. They were a little bit confused. They cooked two preps of prasad. I've got a guest coming. Like that. He's just followed the order, so he cooked two preps of prasad. And he said, get a chair. So they also ordered him a chair. So then what happened is later on he asked the cook to call Tamil Krishna Maharaj in like that. And the cook is still confused. He said, for a guest was coming like that. So he ordered Sama Krishna Maharaj to sit with him, and he ordered the cook out to get out like that. And so they were, Sama Krishna Maharaj was narrating how Prabhupada was always an example of what he taught. So at a particular time, what was happening is that Sama Krishna Maharaj's teaching was very successful, and so he was generating a lot of money. I'm not particularly sure how it was, but he generated a lot of money for this particular project they was overseeing that day. And so after the meal, Prabhupada went to him and said, Tama Krishna, he addressed him and said, so, how did you like the prasad? And Tama Krishna said, it was wonderful, Prabhupada, very nice. And then Prabhupada goes up to him and says, so, you give me some money for my business.
I think it was especially the Krishna book, I suppose. It was something to do with Krishna book.
Yeah, Prabhupada was so determined that he for his book, and he was using many of his principles of natural instruction. First of all, you give and receive prasad, then you talk business.
Yeah. Yeah, business deals of the dining table. Okay, we'll come back.
My favorite verse is 9.25, those who worship demigod go to the planet of demigod and that one. Because those who are living in India can understand that my conception regarding God and many gods has been cleared here from this verse. And regarding Prabhupada's pastime, I have watched Abhay Charan movie directed by His Holiness Bhakti Charan Swami. My favorite thing was that when Prabhupada got heart attack, those of the CEOs already said that when Krishna came personally and saved Prabhupada. This was, and the second theme I would choose that when Kali personified came to Prabhupada to stop his mission, and some rays came from the tilak of Prabhupada, and he was unable to tolerate the power of Prabhupada. So this was one of the favorite.
Where is this?
In Abhay
Charan movie, sir. Oh, is that? Oh.
Yes. And even though one student, when Prabhupada went to one college to preach, one student was saying that some glittering is coming from Prabhupada, but another student was unable to see that glittering.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Krishna. So, one verse which really stuck out to me was 9.2. You say, you know, the knowledge is the king of education, secret all secrets, purest knowledge, all self-realization is here, perfection of knowledge, and everything you could ever want is here. Mm-hmm. And we have it. And I just was thinking, you know, after so many births, so many different bodies, so many different universes, since essentially time immemorial, everyone in this room has come to this platform by the causeless mercy or pious greatness. And I'm thinking, how fortunate is each and every one of us to not only just come into contact with this book, but to come through the holy Dharma in Maya world, no matter all our life circumstances, that's where lying for this to happen. I know people will kill for this opportunity. And here it is, we've got this opportunity right here, kingdom or knowledge, it's all here. Everything you ever want for your eternal, blissful, happy life. And that just really hit me. I was like, we're not just reading a book here, we're not just studying Bhakti Shastra or something. We're trying to perfect our lives. And that was just something that really hit me. And as for I did have a choice about a few verses, but Michael mentioned one, so I won't go with that. But funny enough, it was about Tama Krishna Maharaj as well, and Prabhupada. In a lecture recited by Tendus Ramana Swami, he tells a story about how there's a class, and Prabhupada finishes the class with, so, any questions? And a small child stands up, and Tama Krishna Maharaj was a Brahmacharya this time. And he said, Prabhupada goes, yes, the child. And everyone's telling the child, sit down, what are you doing, you know? And the child goes, why isn't he showing Tamala so much mercy? Why isn't he showing so much special mercy? And everyone in the crowd gasps, like, oh my God, kid, sit down. But at the same time, they're like, actually, you want to hear the answer to this, you know? And the Prabhupada goes, you know, I don't show him actually any special mercy. I show everyone the same level of mercy. Tamala just takes advantage of it. And that just made me think the magnanimity of his personality, that he didn't discriminate. No matter what you've done, no matter what background you come from, no matter what offenses you've caused, no matter what you've done, Prabhupada is willing to give you his mercy regardless of who you are. And obviously a spiritual master would take on the karma of them from initiation. I'm thinking, have a manliness, you know, he's willing to suffer for us.
Thank you. Hey, Prabhu. Hello. Yes, Prabhu.
Hello.
Oh, there was quite some time to think, I think, by now. Okay, you still have a few moments to think. Good.
There are many points that we discussed over the last 6 classes. Just a few of them. The word envy is very common. The practical ways to remove envy was discussed. Hearing, serving devotees, glorifying devotees, understanding the reality of devotees, and whatever the Lord does, He is responsible. And the only happiness in this miserable material world is preaching. What Srila Prabhupada told Bhavananda from. And in devotional service, attention to details is the sign of love. And that's Prabhupada's compassion. Srila Prabhupada's compassion personified, dedicated his every breath to spreading Krishna consciousness, resting only a few hours every night to keep body and soul together. As his body dwindled during his last days with his disciples, doctors visited Srila Prabhupada to offer their advice and treatment, but with little or no result. Finally, one day a physician suggested that his condition arose from his grave anxiety over the tribulations that would beset his disciples after his physical disappearance. At that, Srila Prabhupada looked up and told the man, "Yes, you have diagnosed my condition correctly." With these words, Srila Prabhupada demonstrated his utter selflessness and his extraordinarily profound, compassionate nature. Gravity. Srila Prabhupada once explained to a group of his disciples that the devotee of Lord Krishna is always grave. Upon hearing this, one devotee, a very colorful and effusive person, decided to tone down his disposition and became straight-faced in an attempt to please his spiritual master. After a few days of this behavior by his disciples, Srila Prabhupada looked at him quizzically and asked, "What was the matter?" The disciple replied that he was trying to be grave. At that time, Srila Prabhupada laughed and explained to him that being grave means to be serious about Krishna consciousness. It has nothing to do with artificially representing one's individuality. Srila Prabhupada himself was the most vibrant personality. His life abounded with laughter and spiritual enjoyment. Yet, he was always serious about Krishna consciousness. He never forgot Lord Krishna, not even for a moment, and in this way displayed perfect gravity.
Thank you. Hey, Bo!
I like that yesterday we discussed in pairs what decreases our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I got some good advice.
Okay.
And without elaborating on it. And how times of Srila Prabhupada, I like the part time where they are in England at the John Lennon place, and one of them, she is on the balcony, and she has a room beside Prabhupada. Oh, she's just on the balcony there, and Prabhupada comes out from his balcony, and she looks at him and she says, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, I love you so much." And he said, "Yes, I know." And then he walks in.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Hari Bol.
We were discussing on 7.28 that we were telling like Bhakti Sandha is the Bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Punyata Mahatana Bhakti, and Bhakti comes from this.
Okay.
One. Second one is simply by hearing one can progress from Shraddha to Asana.
Okay.
So these 2 points are very much attractive.
Okay.
And the bad time is, Prabhupada was once traveling with two of his disciples. I don't know if that's from within India or I don't know. But Shrutakirti Prabhu and one more devotee were there. And Prabhupada was sitting in the middle of the, from the window, the third seat. That will be the walkway, the seat. And next was Shrutakirti Prabhu, and to the the Vedas speak was another devotee. They were traveling and they were enjoying like seeing with a window and the beauty of the nature, and they were describing the Prabhupada. And sometime later, one of the women who was serving, so she came and approached Prabhupada. Swamiji, can I give you something to eat, what you would like to eat? So Prabhupada said, I can take some water, like that. And after that, it was time, they both were hungry and they took the mori and they were eating. And they gave it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was also accepting it. And that lady, after a while, she came and she took a hand of it and went and took it immediately. So they got very much good, and they asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this is not good. And she is a woman, she took from you and that. So Prabhupada never answered for that. And later on, after a few years later, some of the devotees went to Russia, where interior, somewhere in the forest interior, they were going to do some program. So that time they were seeing the Dhun Kirtana Prabhupada singing very loudly in their home. And they all went there, and even one of the Shrutakirti Prabhu and one of the other devotee, I think not Shrutakirti Prabhu, and another devotee who was with them. And when they went, that lady simply by eating the ramanas of Prabhupada is really merciful. Even a moment of association has given her an inspiration, and she was collecting all the books of Prabhupada, like Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavatam and everything. The whole set of books were there, and she was doing Bhakti Bhiksha. And later the devotee discovered, and when they asked, she told them about this pastime. It was really, Prabhupada was very merciful.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, that's right. This is a good, wonderful pastime actually. There's an air hostess who just grabbed a handful of puffed rice right out of Prabhupada's plate as Prabhupada was having. And just by that one handful of puffed rice from Prabhupada's plate, many years later devotees actually found a practice in Krishna consciousness in some remote place. Very nice. Yeah. The power of association. Yes, Sabhajan Prabhu?
I just came
now. Yeah, it has been
quite some time. Actually, tomorrow I'm about to come back. But I have to say something. I was just remembering when you were saying that we have to try to improve the quality of our service to please Krishna. I think it's such a simple thing to note. The karmis, they try to improve their work for their own senses. We are trying to improve the work for Krishna's senses.
Okay.
That's one point I've been
making. Okay, good point, thank you.
Yeah. I can't remember any book. Any pastime of Srila Prabhupada?
Yes, amongst the unlimited number of pastimes, just one pastime, and your name being a
Bhaisa. In relation to what?
In relation to your name?
Well, we know Srila Prabhupada is fearless. He did go to the West and to complete, let's say, externally foreign to his background. Being brought up in India, and I heard that like even he himself would sometimes sit at the side of some river. He was thinking sometimes. I mean, you could tell me if I'm wrong. He was thinking maybe I should go back. I mean, it was a very difficult task to carry on, but he had full faith in the instruction of spiritual master, And that same thing connects, that was a big success.
Fine, thank you. Haribo. Yes, Prajul Max. Okay, fine. Yes, Prabhuji? You ready?
Hare Krishna, everyone. Prabhupada explained that, it is true what Prabhupada explained that when we begin in Krishna consciousness, even we fall down from the ideal standard, it's okay, but it's okay just continue because this is the best part. This is the best.
And what about Prabhupada's path?
And then relation with Prabhupada, because my personal experience when I began.
No, you can tell the proper past time.
Okay, sorry. One time Prabhupada Arati in the West, I think, and when he offered the water to the deities, he asked all to the devotees, but devotees misunderstood. They didn't prepare bowl for the water, but they wanted to chant Haribo. So enthusiasts say, Haribo! Haribo! Prabhupada's bowl. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Just in relation to the same point, since you brought up that point of Apichet Suduracharo Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak, so the important point in that connection is, what was the important point Prabhupada stressed again and again when that purport? Yes, it only refers to an accidental fall down and not premeditated. Okay? So, as Prabhupada says, that one should not take this as an excuse to do nonsense, but then it may happen accidentally and then one should constantly try to improve. And so that's the important point in connection to that. And Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak, what does it refer to? We saw in the commentary three things. Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak refers to three things. Somebody remembers? Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak refers to three things. Yes, Richard?
When you said, like, worship me, no one else, and no other desire than my desire, and no karma and gyan.
Yes. Right, so the devotee continues in his determination to worship only the Supreme Lord without any contamination of karma or jnana, without any other desire, and with deep repentance for whatever he has done, he continues in his worship of the Supreme Lord. Then Krishna says he is still a sadhu, he is still to be considered a sadhu. Okay? And then we discuss after that verse, what's the next verse? Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma. So there again we saw the wonderful commentary that how Krishna is saying that my devotee never perishes. Okay? So such a devotee, he quickly becomes righteous because of his deep repentance, his determination to continue the practice of devotional service. So he quickly is reinstated on the right path. Okay? So we discussed these very important verses towards the end of the 9th chapter, discussing the glories of devotional service, how Krishna personally reciprocates with his devotees, and how he is ready to ultimately purify them and take them back to the spiritual world. That is the all-merciful nature of the Supreme Lord. I just thought of showing you one slide in regards to your OBA. I thought this would be, somehow I missed it when I was teaching, and I thought it would be useful for you to write your OBA. So, Yeah. This is a sort of summary actually of that whole section from 9.4 to 10. And you can see, if you actually cover these points, your essay gets completed. So I'm trying to make your essay writing easy. So you see 4 to 5, 4th and 5th verses, creation rests on Krishna, but he is aloof. This is the first point. And the analogy is the king and the departments. Okay? Then 5 to 10, everything is on Krishna, depends on Krishna's order, but Krishna, he is independent. Okay, not a blade of grass moves without the will of Krishna. Everything depends on Krishna's order. But he himself, he is independent. And the analogy is wind in the sky. Then the other point is, Krishna is responsible for everything, but he is neutral. Udasinavat. That was the point. And the analogy is the high court judge. And then in verses 9 and 10, Krishna's glance activates matter, injects jivas, but he is aloof. Right, he is doing this through his energies, but he himself is aloof. And the analogy that's given is smelling the flower, but not physically coming in touch with the flower. So this is like a summary of that whole section. And I think so if you take each of these points and you just elaborate on each of these points along with each of those analogies, then it covers that whole answer. Useful, right? Yes, sir.
I saw in the text, the given duration of the life of Satya Yuga, Kapha Yuga, Kapha Yuga,
Say that again?
Did you discuss that?
No, you don't require to write all that. No, that's not required. Just something?
There is a handbook, page 40.
Oh, this is there? It's there in the handbook?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, fine. So it's already there. I thought it was not there. So it's, so anyway, it makes it really for me. Michael, can you go to the next slide? Yes.
Would you be doing the same for our
other
essay?
Say that again?
Would you be doing the same for our other essay also?
Oh, you want something like this for the other question? Wait, the other question is quite simple, right? Demigod? That's fine.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, if anyone personally wants any guidance on writing the OBS, I'm always available. No, it's fine, it's fine. Go to the next. It's there in the handbook, isn't it? Okay, so we're starting with chapter 10. Chapter 10 is entitled Vibhuti Yoga, the opulence of the absolute. This has about 4 sections. 1 to 7 is one who has understood Krishna's unfathomable nature, engaged in devotional service. 8 to 11 is the Chaturshtokya Bhagavad Gita. 12 to 18, Arjuna's acceptance and request to hear more of Krishna's opulences. 19 to 42 is Krishna's opulences. Okay. Let's recite the first verse. Shri Bhagavan Vasa Bhuya Deva Mahabaho Shunu Me Paramam Vachaha Yatteham Priyamanaya Vakshyami Hitakamyaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says, listen again, O mighty Arjuna, because you are my dear friend, for your benefit I shall speak to you further, giving knowledge that is better than what I have already explained. Now, in the previous chapter, we have already discussed that this is Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, this is the king of all knowledge. But here, Krishna says, I am going to speak knowledge that is better than what I've already explained. Isn't this surprising? He has said, the previous chapter, that's the king of all knowledge. Then why is he saying over here that he's going to speak something which is better than that? Yes, sir.
Because the whole king is always the queen.
So what's the king? Who's the queen here?
Paramambha.
Okay, a little more commentary on that comment.
I was just wondering, like, when Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, does he say, like, okay, now this is chapter 10? Like, he doesn't really separate, like,
that's true.
Like, so to me, it's like it's one long conversation. And he's just
but still, here he's saying, I'm going to give you knowledge which is better.
When the king and the emperor.
Okay, some similar analogy, Kangava. Yes, Prabhu? No. Whether he said dear friend or not, that's not the question. The question is, why is he saying knowledge that is better? What could be better than the king of all knowledge? He has already given the king. So what could be better than that?
Maybe he just wanted to stress the specialness of this knowledge.
That's true. He's stressing the specialness. But my question is, what is it? Why is he saying this is better when he has already said that that is the king of all knowledge? Well, he still said, I'm giving you the same knowledge. Yes, Prabhu. Well, he has spoken about devotional service in the previous chapter, right? Yes, any other thoughts? Yes, Prabhu?
He's going to go into more details
about
his opulences.
That's right. So he has already spoken, the king of all knowledge is further elaborating on that. Right? He's further elaborating his opulences. So he's already spoken his opulences in chapter 7, chapter 9, and now he's further elaborating on that, and so therefore he says, I'm going to give you knowledge that is better than what I have spoken so far. Exactly. Okay, there's a 1 to 7. One who has understood Krishna's unfathomable nature engages in his devotional service. Here, Srila Prabhupada begins his purport by describing the word Bhagavan. And so therefore, we know the famous definition of Bhagavan, the famous verse, speaking about the six opulences. But there's another meaning to the word Bhagavan. I think this is given by Jiva Goswami. This is explained by Srila Prabhupada also in his commentaries to Sri Ishopanishad. You'll find this over there in one of the verses. But anyways, we'll just go through this. Bha means Bharta. Bharta means nourisher, maintainer, establisher of the devotee. So this is the meaning of Bha. And Ga means Gamayita. Gamayita means he who creates all qualities in his devotee, he who grants pure prema to his devotee, and he who gives the Vaikuntha to his devotee, right? That's the meaning of Gamayita. And Van comes from the word Vas, means all the devotees reside within him, and he resides in all his devotees. So this is also another meaning of the word Bhagavan. This is Jiva Goswami. Yeah, Jiva Goswami is. You'll find it in the Ishopanishad. I don't remember the exact verse where Prabhupada spoke this, but he speaks about this in the Ishopanishad. Okay, this is Vishnu Chimdav's commentary on this first verse. I'll just go through some important parts of this commentary. So here, starting from the 7th chapter, after revealing his powers, Krishna spoke of bhakti. Now in the 10th chapter, he speaks of the confidential elements of bhakti along with a description of his vibhutis. Right, there's a further description of his vibhutis over here. By knowing the powers of the Lord, one understands the Lord is worthy of worship. Okay, we already discussed this point. Why Krishna is describing his own glories? Krishna is describing his own glories because then by knowing those glories, one's respect for the Lord increases. One knows that here is a person who's worthy of my worship. These powers have been described starting from the 7th chapter. Now the Lord will explain the powers in detail. Okay? So that's why he's saying this is better knowledge, because he explains those powers in detail for the pleasure of those who have devotion. Okay? And here, Bhuya, hear my words. This means, again I will speak about the king of knowledge, the king of secrets. Right? So it's again the same knowledge in one sense, but then, as I said, if there's more description about his vibhutis. Okay, fine. Okay, we go to the second verse. Okay.
written that Krishna is in the devotee. Right?
Krishna is?
In the devotee.
Okay, Krishna is in the heart of the devotee. Yeah,
but we were studying in 9th chapter or 8th chapter that Krishna is saying in one verse, I'm not in them. It's not so contradictory.
Which?
I don't remember those.
Okay. You are referring to the verse Maya tadap idam sarvam jagatav yaktamurtina Matthani sarvabhutani na chaunte shavastitna, where Krishna is saying all living beings are in me but I am not in them.
Yes.
That means referring to the living entities in general.
Yeah, but he's in the form of Paramatma.
Yeah, that's the whole discussion we had, where essentially it means that all the living entities are dependent on Krishna, but Krishna is not dependent on them. That is the meaning of that verse.
It doesn't mean that.
No. It doesn't mean the literal thing. Okay, fine. Towards the end of the first verse's commentary, Srila Prabhupada writes, the more one hears about the Supreme Lord, the more one becomes fixed in devotional service. Right? An important statement. The more one hears about the Supreme God, the more one becomes fixed in devotional service. One should always hear about the Lord in the association of devotees. That will enhance one's devotional service. Okay? Let's go to the second verse. Na me vidu suragana prabhavam na maharshayah aham adiri devanam maharshinam cha sarvashah. Neither the hosts of demigods nor the great sages know my origin or opulences, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and the sages. Right, so we know so many different pastimes where we see that even the demigods, they don't understand the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. So what's the reason why the demigods don't understand? Are the demigods devotees or no?
Some of them, maybe.
Some of them, maybe.
They're
not devotees?
They're
devotees. Yes, Michael?
It's similar to like a child depends on his parents to share knowledge about themselves.
Yes, true. Yes, they are not pure devotees. They are karma mishra bhaktas, right? All the demigods are karma mishra bhaktas. They are devotees. That's why Vishnu always sides with them, because they are devotees, definitely. But they have tinges of material contamination. They want to enjoy the heavenly planet, so they are karma mishra bhaktas. And so because of the enjoying tendency, they don't understand. But what's the problem with the rishis? Why the rishis don't understand?
Jnana-mishra.
Certainly, maybe some of the rishis are Jnana-mishra bhaktas, but it doesn't say that. But aren't the rishis supposed to know? He says, neither the hosts of demigods nor the great sages. So what's the problem with the rishis?
They
found evil. Good. Possible. What do you think?
They're not devotees.
Well, when Krishna is saying Maharishiyaha, great sages, not just sages, great sages. So great sages must be devotees. Well,
because they speculate sometimes. You know, with the imperfect senses, and they reach the conclusion of impersonality.
Possible. somebody else has not spoken till now? Would like to try? Why the rishis don't understand? Very simple answer. Yes, Prabhu. They didn't get the mercy of the pure devotee. Well, the simple reason is because they are born from Krishna. So Vishnu Chaitanya would give us a simple example, and Prabhupada also gives an example. Well, he gives a simple example. He says, just like a child cannot understand everything about his father unless the father tells him, similarly, since the sages are also born from Krishna, unless and until Krishna reveals to them, they don't understand. And so therefore, Krishna says, For in every respect I am the source of the demigods and the sages. So because he is the source, and that's the example Vishnu Chaitanya gives. So he raises the question, well, devatas may not know because they are absorbed in material pleasure, but the sages must know. No, they also do not know. And the Lord explains the reason why they do not know. Because I am the cause of all of them. In all ways they do not know about my birth, just as the sons cannot know about the birth of the father. Okay, so just as unless the father tells about himself to the children, the child may never know. So similarly, since the rishis are also born from Krishna, so therefore they don't know unless Krishna actually reveals himself.
In the 7th chapter, Krishna says, I know all living entities, but you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's true. Unless Krishna reveals himself. So that's the reason why. Okay? So Krishna is further describing his own opulences. So in the 3rd verse he says, he who knows me as the unborn, as the beginningless, as the supreme lord of all the worlds, he only undeluded among men is freed from all sins. Okay, so unless one understands Krishna as the unborn, beginningless, all this, and is undeluded, then only he becomes free from all sins. Verses 4 to 5, Krishna describes how he is the source of all the list of qualities. You see verses 4 to 5, he is mentioning a list of qualities. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness. So all this big list of qualities. And Srila Prabhupada in his elaborate purport, he is describing, he is giving briefly about each of these qualities. But essentially Krishna is describing all these qualities. After giving the list, he says, all these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. Right? So actually, in these initial few verses, Krishna is giving a synopsis of creation. Right? In the previous verse, he said that the demigods, the sages, they are coming from me. Now in this verse, he says, all these various qualities of the living beings, they come from me. And in the next verse, Krishna says, the 7 great sages, and before them, the 4 other great sages, and the Manus, the progenitors of mankind, come from me, born from my mind, and all the living beings populating the various planets descend from them. The 7 great sages, they're called as the Saptarishis, right? The astronomers say that you can actually see the 7 stars, Saptarishis, representing the Saptarishis in the sky. Those who are experts in astronomy, they can actually show these Saptarishis, the 7 stars representing the Saptarishis. And who are the 4 other great sages that he's referring to? Yes, the 4 Kumaras, right? So Krishna is saying, all these are born from me. Okay, and in the 7th verse he says, one who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mind engages in unalloyed devotional service, of this there is no doubt. Right, so he has given a synopsis of creation, how everything is coming from him. And what is the benefit of knowing this? The benefit is, one who is convinced of this, what does he do? What does he do? Unalloyed devotional service. Right, so Bhagavad Gita we find Krishna speaks many things in form of sutras. And so what is elaborately described in the 2nd and 3rd cantos of Bhagavatam as creation, Krishna is giving some sutras over here. Right, and he is giving some hints that how everything is coming from him. And so one who is factually convinced of these opulences of the Lord, one who knows how Krishna is so great, how everything is coming from him, then he will engage in unalloyed devotional service. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, 7th verse, I'm reading 6th line, if one knows factually how God is great, Prabhupada in many of his lectures he says, many times people say God is great, but they do not know how he is great. And that is what Krishna himself is explaining, how he is great. So if one factually knows how God is great, then naturally he becomes a surrendered soul and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord. When one factually knows the opulence of the Supreme, there is no alternative but to surrender to him. And that's the reason why Krishna is describing his opulences, and that's the reason why we are studying his opulences. By studying them, we know how God is great. And by that, it becomes easy for us to surrender to him and worship him. Okay, this is the first section. And the next section from 8 to 11 verses is the Chatushloki Gita. Okay, this is the entire subject matter of the Gita encapsulated in four verses. So these are four very, very important verses of the entire Bhagavad Gita. Okay, and we would like to have a discussion on these four verses in quite some depth, and we're going to divide the class into six groups. Okay, and
our question on verse 3.
Okay.
The purport, first paragraph, last line says that when one has actually understood Krishna's supreme position, can one become completely free from all sinful reactions? Then later on, we see that in the purport, one must be liberated from all sinful activities to know Krishna. It seems to be like
a circle. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, as one practices devotional service, one gets purified of sinful reactions. The more one is purified, the more one can know Krishna better. Yeah, to the degree one is purified, then Krishna reveals himself. Ultimately, of course, Krishna can be known only by revelation. But then, more one is purified, then more Krishna will reveal.
It doesn't stop anyone from beginning.
Yes.
Anyone can begin.
Yes, anyone can begin. Yeah.
But to do devotional service, you need to have complete knowledge. Is that the right understanding?
No. See, anyone can begin devotional service, and as one is getting purified with the practice of devotional service, then one gets more and more adhikar, receives more mercy and better understanding.
I was just wondering about the seven rishis. What type of consciousness they have? Where do they reside?
During the break, I will give you a reference for these seven rishis. You can get more details. Okay. Okay. Fine. So we're going to divide the class into six groups now, and I think so. We will take the same six names we had last time. Oh, six Swamis. Oh, they're too confusing. So, Chaitanya.
Chaitanya. Nityananda.
Okay. Little loudly, loudly. Gaur Bhakta, yes. Chaitanya. Yes, Nityananda. Gadadhar. Nityananda. Yeah, Nityananda is Nityananda. Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas, Gaur Bhakta. No, Chaitanya. Sorry, you're Chaitanya for today. Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas, Gaurabhak, Chaitanya, Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas, Gaurabhakta, Chaitanya, Haribo. Okay, fine. Okay, so kindly divide yourselves into six groups, quickly please. Chaitanya, Nityananda, Advaita. Nityananda is here. Here. Okay, fine. Okay, you want to be there? Okay, no problem. Yeah. Haribo, quickly make your six groups. Where is Chaitanya? Chaitanya. Okay, you want to be there? No problem. Where is comfortable? Where is comfortable? Which group is here? Advaita. Advaita is here. Haribo, Advaita is here. What's that? Gaur Bhakta. Okay, and where is Gadadhar? Okay, here. Okay, maybe you can shift them there somewhere. There's too much crowding. Shrivas, go there in the corner. Right? Okay, here is Nityananda. That is Shrivas. Here in that corner, that's Shrivas, right? Which is this one? Gadadhar, Gaur Bhakta, Advaita, and this is Chaitanya. Okay, everyone has 4, 4, 4, 4. Okay, good. Okay, fine. So now, there are 4 questions. Okay, 2 questions per group. Okay. So the 8th verse, 10.8. Okay, so Chaitanya group can take 10.8 and you answer 2 questions. What are the main points of the verse and purports? And second is, how will you practically apply that verse within your life? Okay, those are 2 questions for you. Okay, so Gadadhar group, you take the same verse, 10.8, but you have to mention what are the challenges in practical application and how you'll overcome them. Is it clear? Challenges in application and how to overcome. Okay, so these 4 questions remain common for all the groups. Okay, now, okay, that's clear for you? Okay, fine. Now, Nityan group.
Yes, which
verse? 10.9. Okay, what are the main points of the verse and purports?
Main point of the verse and purports.
And practical application.
How we do it in our first one.
Yes, that's right. Okay? And yes, Advait group, you take the other part of 10.9, that is challenges in overcoming and how to overcome. The challenges in practicing and how to overcome. Yeah. Okay, and okay, so your group can take both the verses, 10.10 and 11. They have the same theme. Okay, so this, actually these verses are described as Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. 10.8 is like Sambandha Gyan, 9 is Abhideya, and 10 and 11 are like Prayojan. So they cover the same. So you take both the verses, 10 and 11, they have the same theme. So what are the main points? And practical application. Okay, and what remains for you is the challenges in application and how to overcome. 10.10 and 10.11.
Challenges in application.
Yes, and how to overcome. Yes, they have the same theme. Okay, fine. So your break plus preparation time till 12:30. Yes, break plus preparation time till 12:30. Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And please write your points on charts. Please write your points on charts. Everyone has to kindly requested to write on charts.